musos. There, of course, are the late nights, the lungfuls of smoke. And what happens if you actually diss a band in the paper and then you meet them down a dark alley after a gig? Well, today in the Deep End, we're going to meet three authors who have been there, done that. Rob Hurst is a founding member of Midnight Oil and author of Willie's Bar and Grill. Debbie Kruger has just written Songwriters Speak, where she spoke to the cream of the Australian songwriting fraternity. And Andrew Stafford is the author of Pig City, From the Saints to Savage Garden, about the Brisbane music scene in the time of Sir Joe. They were all on a panel at the recent Byron Bay Writers Festival, and the ABC's James Valentine was asking the questions. This first one was addressed to Debbie Kruger.
What have you read, to start with, on Australian writing through your life, when you've been a music publicist, you've been involved in the music industry for many, many years? What have you read that you've thought, this is fantastic, this is inspiration, I love this?
Well, my Bible is not, it's not really telling a story, and yet it's telling thousands of stories, is Ian Macfarlane's Encyclopedia of Australian Rock and Pop, which I swear to God, you can read from A to Z, and it is absolutely brilliant. It's a little out of date now because it's 6 years old. But that is my absolute Bible, and before that, I mean, the real thing is kind of interesting, Toby Creswell and Martin Fabini. There's a lot of books. But actually, the best book on Australian music scene that I had read before Ian Macfarlane's Encyclopedia was a funny book that came out in the mid-90s by Peter Wilmot, Glad All Over the Countdown Years,
right,
which is brilliantly written,
yeah,
and if you lived through that period... you know, I mean, I laughed along, and then I wrote Peter a list of all the things he'd gotten wrong and the things that he'd left out.
And hey, I'm sure he appreciated that, you know.
He did, actually. He wrote back to me and thanked me and said, oh, I never thought of John English as a key player, but I'll have to think about that one. But most of the music books that had really inspired and influenced me, and I am a voracious reader of music books, are from overseas, and certainly the book that inspired me was a book of interviews with songwriters by a guy called Paul Zollo called Songwriters on Songwriting. And he'd been inspired, and I also since, by Bill Flanagan, who now runs the VH1 network, but he was a music writer, and he wrote a great book, the title of which escapes me right now, but I'll think of it, but it's out of print, in the 80s. And he did some incredible interviews with Keith Richards and... Elvis Costello, and fabulous, insightful interviews, Q&A style. And I just knew that Q&A was the only way to go.
Rob, do you find a lack of interesting writing about Australian music? I mean, as you know, when you were growing up, was there anything that you read in the magazines or books that you thought, yep, this is, you know, this gives me a picture of what's going on? Now, do you find a lot of interesting writing about Australian music?
I have to confess that I would say one of those... street magazine junkies for a long time, and it's an incredible how addictive they can be, you know. I mean, eventually my wife Leslie had to say, look, there's this vast world of literature out there, there's Goethe, there's Proust, there's John Laws's poetry. You've got to get your nose out of these rock magazines. But you know, it is it's something that took a long time withdrawal, you know. I had to wear the patches and had to go to rock and roll rehab, and she said, well, don't take it too far, just sort of do a halfway house, you know, maybe, you know, something like Thomas the Tank Engine, which at least involves Ringo, you know. And so I worked up to great works of literature like those written by Gabriel Garcia Marquez and others. And I actually feel really sorry for rock and roll writers as a whole. And looking back at it, I think the Toby Creswells and the Ed Nimbervolls and the Christy Elizers and the Sean Sennetts and those people that have to hang out night after night in smoky pubs talking to monosyllabic bands that grunt in front of them, and they've actually got to try to carve some kind of poetic piece with ridiculous deadlines week after week and get paid a pittance. Who do it? I mean, just get published by Picador, for God's sake.
Go straight to there. Andrew, what's your assessment of the state of writing about Australian music, Australian rock music in particular?
Well, I did actually get my start through the street press, and that would be obviously the most common way for most people that are enthusiastic about rock and pop to get a start, because there's not really much quality control on the street press. A lot of those rags are barely edited at all, so it's very easy to get a start there. I progressed, I suppose, up to, you know, I was writing for Rolling Stone for a number of years during the 1990s, and eventually I got kind of depressed with that as well and disillusioned with it. The book that really inspired me to write Pig City was also a history of, you know, a much more rock and roll town than Brisbane. It was a book called From the Velvets to the... And those of you, I just pointed out that my book subtitle was From the Saints to Savage Garden. Well, I picked up this book by a British writer called Clinton Halen called From the Velvets to the Voidoids, which was his history of the New York and American punk scene in the mid-70s, which was really kind of my musical ground zero point. And I just loved the way that that book was put together, and it wasn't an A to Z. It was trying to actually locate music in a cultural and geographical context. And that was really what I wanted to do with my book. I didn't want to write an A to Z, and unfortunately it seems a lot of people did want an A to Z, and I think, you know, that sort of reminds me that Australian music, and certainly Brisbane music on the, you know, global scale of pop, is still a very small thing. And so everyone wants to be acknowledged, no one wants to be left out. But I actually wanted to be able to tell a bigger story in my book, and I wanted to tell a story about how, you know, the music, really, it's a music book in one way, but the music was also a window through which I could write a kind of love letter to my city and how it had changed over the years, I suppose. And I wish we had more music writers in Australia that were actually thinking on a slightly larger scale. I don't want to compare myself for a moment to, you know, great music writers like Grail Marcus or Lester Bangs, who I actually find, either of those writers, I actually find them very difficult to read in more than small doses. But I think it's important that if you want to write about music, you have to at least aim high.
Try to
actually say something.
But it's not here in Australia, is it? I mean, it doesn't seem to rise much above, you know, doing the street press reviews, and then if you're lucky, you get a kind of magazine area, and you might occasionally get a feature and that sort of thing up. But outside of that, you know, who's writing great, insightful essays about it? Who's writing books about it?
Nobody.
Seems to me at the moment it's a case of who can put the adjectives in the right places.
Right.
I just find the music press, even in the, you know, going the next step from the street press and into your major national and metropolitan newspapers, to be so deeply cynical and negative. And I mean, one particular music journalist who I used to know extremely well used to send me emails saying, oh, I'm just writing a really vitriolic piece about the Country Music Festival in Tamworth. And I thought, why?
Why
bother then, you know? And that's very much the attitude of the music writers today, who are very territorial. They're very possessive about their territory. If they go on holiday for 4 weeks, don't even think about getting your CD reviewed, because they don't want to pass it on to anyone else. And they take pride in being as negative as possible. Rob, what's your experience of that?
Generally, I think it's rare that you read something which, you know, is a beautifully put piece, you know, about music or a band. I think that Bono's introduction recently to Springsteen's induction, or in actual fact, Springsteen's induction to U2 into the Hall of Fame, was a magnificent bit of writing. I don't know if anyone's seen that, but occasionally you come across it and it's magnificent. It's few and far between, I think.
How did you find it when you turned yourself into someone observing your own experience and writing about it, and writing about it from the inside?
Well, we were lucky, actually. I feel a bit of a hoax today, because Willie's Bar and Grill is actually much more about America than the Australian scene. There's one chapter where we arrive back after touring for 7 weeks in America after 9/11, which is devoted to Australia. But in a way, it's a cowardly act, you know, to not write about. I really never really wanted to write about fellow musicians. If you've actually been a musician and you've spent your time in what's known as the scene or the industry, the last thing you actually want to do then is really write about it. You want to do anything else, you know. You want to go and see great art. You want to walk through botanical gardens. You just want to do anything else, you know. And and also, I think kind of life's too short to spend your time reviewing bad music, and, you know, there's so much bad stuff there. So on a few occasions that I have been given a job to review stuff, it's only stuff I've really liked. And it's also, as I say, it's a cowardly act, because I remember, you know, the Midnight Oil crew, if Midnight Oil got a bad review from someone, the journalist would be tied with a guitar string to a Marshall stack on 11, you know. And I just didn't want to be in a situation where I'd be meeting people backstage who I'd said something really horrible about. And, you know.
You just don't go backstage in that circumstance.
That's right. So now I just don't go backstage at all. But.
I was always motivated to write about music that I loved, pure and simple. And I was very lucky, I think, that when I got my first meagre check from Time Off in Brisbane for writing a piece, I spent it on an anthology of rock and roll writing by the aforementioned Clinton Halen, which had loads of fantastic stuff that really gave me, you know, a number of different writers to look at and, you know, try to copy for a while until I found my own voice. And that was when I started, you know, to think that, you know, you had to do more than, you know, work with adjectives. And if I can just give a shout out for Debbie's achievement here, because it's so rare to have someone that has so actively engaged with the hardest part to do in writing about music, which was to actually analyse how songcraft works. And that's so rarely actually engaged with in a specific sense. It's an incredibly revealing book.
Mm. But the thing about, thank you, but the thing about my book, of course, is that it's not as much my voice, other than about 30,000 words of introductions, as it is the voices of, it is the songwriters who speak because they're Q&A style, and that was really important, that this is basically an oral history put down into words. So if you want to know about how the Midnight Oil songs were written, I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to ask Rob and Jim McGinney the questions, and they're going to tell you. And that's the most revealing thing about it.
Mm. Did you find they were able to talk about it?
Very much.
Did most songwriters understand their own processes?
I'd ask Rob that. They were.
So there's a mysterious thing which comes out, and Andrew's right. Debbie's book is a fantastic read, by the way. And it's on a part of music that you don't normally read about. I mean, it's kind of the engine room. It's the stuff that musicians love and talk about, but for some reason it's almost entirely neglected by the Australian Idol generation, you know, which is all about fame and glitz and being up there and making money and stuff. But in actual fact, if you talk to musicians, and this is, once again, the problem with musicians talking, being interviewers, is they want to find out, you know, whether the drummer used Ambassador or Emperor Heads, or the guitar player prefers using a Big Muff pedal or a Brown Sauce, or the guitar player or the bass player uses flat round or round wound strings, or, you know, they want to know about the esoteria of what's going on. They want to talk to the producers and the engineers, how do you get that sound, you know, all that kind of stuff. And so I think most of the songwriters in Debbie's book were absolutely delighted that they were finally asked these questions. Mm. But what they all said, of course, was that there's a mystery to songwriting which never changes. None of them could actually put their finger on how songs come about. And that's the intriguing thing. You know, even someone like Neil Finn, who's just such an accomplished songwriter, points to the mystery of it and how he never gets closer to the source or understanding it.
And without that mystery, none of the other hoopla would exist.
But in asking them all about the mechanical process and the spark of inspiration, what was the story behind this song? Where were you? Because we were talking about place before. It's not just where you come from or where you live. It could be just where you are when you write a song. Tim Finn told me a story about a song he wrote up here in Byron Bay at the Music Farm. So when you ask, if I put all the stones down on the path and ask the right questions, even if Neil Finn or Rob or somebody couldn't tell you, well, the secret to the mystery of songwriting is this, what they could do was paint you in a fabulous picture of how they do it and what their process is. So at the end of it, I certainly felt, and I hope my readers will feel, that you don't actually want to unlock that mystery, because then it just keeps you excited about the next song you're going to hear. And I think what I really got from interviewing 45 songwriters was that it never ceases to be wonderful, exciting and magical. Mm. And that everyone has their own belief about how songs come to be and their own little mechanics, their own little processes. But it's just this wondrous thing.
Mm. Aren't many of the best songs about Australia I've found seem to be written overseas? I know that Cattle and Cane by the Go-Betweens was written in London, and I think, Rob, wasn't Power and the Passion written there also?
Yeah, it was written in 1980... It was written in 1981, and we were sitting in studio in West London, Goldhawk Road, and we were trying to write a breakthrough album, because we'd run out of money and we'd be kind of dumped by the previous record company, and we'd had a we'd had an experience the year before where we'd gone to England and been recorded by a famous producer, Glyn Johns, made an album for A&M, which they didn't like. Interestingly, they thought it was too Australian. They wouldn't be able to sell it overseas. You know, this was 5 years later. A&R men were crawling over Australia to get that Australia sound, but I guess we were just a little ahead. Songs that became the Tender One songs, Power and Passion, yeah, were written in the loft in Goldhawk Road above the Townhouse Studios there. Mm. Mm.
Richard Clapton wrote some of his most iconic songs, like Deep Water, overlooking a frozen beach in Denmark. He found that he felt closest to Australia, to what he called pining for the fields, yearning for home, when he was in some cold, miserable place with German students in Europe. When he finally settled back in Australia in the 80s, his songwriting became more outward-looking and international. And so that was also an interesting thing to look at, the fact that somebody who is considered to be such an iconic Australian songwriter generally wrote about the place he was furthest away from.
I think that's when nostalgia really kicks in, isn't it? Debbie Kruger, author of Songwriters Speak, Rob Hurst, songwriter with Midnight Oil, and now the author of Willie's Bar and Grill, and Andrew Stafford, who wrote Pig City, From the Saints to Savage Garden. They were all at the recent Byron Bay Writers Festival.